Welcome to the Bridge Association of Realtors podcast, where we spotlight Bay Area Realtor members and affiliates and share information about how the association can better serve our members. I'm your host, Declan Spring, and today I'm chatting with an affiliate member of Bridge AOR, Ruth Straub. Ruth Straub is a 17-year insurance agent with Farmers and founder of the Ruth Straub Insurance Agency in Oakland. In our conversation, Ruth educates me on many aspects of property insurance and the changes she's seen in her 17-year career. Topics include a brief history of property insurance since the 80s and the unintended consequences of 1988's Prop 103. State Farm's May 27th announcement that it has discontinued writing new policies on California property. The reinsurance market, population growth and property development, insurance company formulas, loss ratio, combined ratio, fire lines and the three factors that comprise fire line scores, types of insurance carriers in California, the California Fair Plan, insurance coverage and purchase contract contingencies, property insurance inspections after the policy has been written. I've provided several links to these topics in the podcast notes so you can get some deeper understanding just by clicking on the links there. And I want to also mention that the audio quality for this podcast is, well, it's not perfect because due to circumstances, I needed to chat with Ruth on Zoom rather than in person. So apologies for the change in audio quality as we transition to the conversation with Ruth, but please stick with it. It's worth it. And now I bring you Ruth Straub. Okay, let's see what's upcoming on the Bridge AOR calendar that I should mention. Tuesday, June 6th. 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. is Tech Tuesday. We have a Tech Tuesday webinar on Paragon Essentials. This webinar will be held on Zoom and will explore basic features and core functionality of the Paragon 5 system. From home widgets to creating auto prospecting, users will learn to navigate the system efficiently while gathering all desired information from the MLS platform. There's a registration link in the podcast notes. I'm here with Ruth Straub with Farmers Insurance, and I'm so happy to have you on the Bridge Association of Realtors podcast today. And Ruth, thank you so much for being an affiliate member of Bridge Association of Realtors. Really grateful to have you available as a resource to chat about insurance in particular, and especially this week, because I think it came as a surprise to me, Ruth, that State Farm said last week, I think it was on Friday, released a statement that they no longer issue new policies on property in California. They're doing renewals, but they're not taking on new properties. I think they maybe had about 8% of property insurance in California. I might be wrong, but this must be massive. What's going on in your industry right now? And talk to me about all of this, please.
Great. So, Declan, thank you so much for the great question. Just to give you a bit of background, I've been an insurance agent with Farmers for 17 years. When I started, things were relatively normal. Insurance was going through some technology upgrades, and then we hit the mortgage crisis, and all those vacant properties, insurance became a little bit of a challenge. Hmm. And then California hit a drought. I've been seeing these challenges in the insurance market coming now for over a decade. I've been trying to help realtors understand that there were challenges. I feel like not everyone believed me. You know, this week's State Farm announcement is just sort of the icing on the cake. Hmm. I sit on a agent's advisor panel with United Policyholders, a consumer advocacy group that helps homeowners who've experienced a wildfire loss. And they are very much on top of the market. In that agent advisory group, we had been surprised that State Farm continued to write so many policies and to take so much risk when other carriers were already retreating from the market.
Right.
So let's give it sort of the big picture first. Please. I always like to talk about Prop 103. This is a 35-year-old consumer-driven law that came through Proposition about a decade after Prop 13 and has had many unintended consequences. Prop 103 does several things. It says that our insurance commissioner will be elected, not appointed. That means in an election year, the insurance commissioner has to worry not about just insurance regulation, but about getting elected.
Right. Yeah, I see the problem there.
So it also put a cap on insurance rates to help protect consumers from rate volatility. Other states, if they have a catastrophic weather event that comes through, sees rate changes, 25 to 50% increases sometimes. That's kind of their normal. In California, that cap is at 7%. Well, the unintended consequence of rate capping is that insurance companies might not be willing to issue a policy if they can't get the rate they need to create a sustainable business practice. So we are at what I call the intersection of inflation and regulation. You add to that the supply chain issues, the weird weather. Not only have we had fires in the last 5 years, but we have had some of the worst
water
rain
related
events, right? Storm events.
Yeah.
Completely unexpected. The insurance companies are paying out significantly more than they're collecting to the point where they can take what's called a rate action. They can request a rate increase. If that increase request is over 7%, then the insurance companies have to open their books to the regulators for additional scrutiny and risk not getting the increase they're looking for, but might actually end up with a decrease. So it's a very difficult process to raise rates in California, more than about 5 to 7%.
I understand. Okay, that's on renewals you're talking about.
That's on renewals and new business.
And new business.
Right?
Okay.
One of the other things is that in California, through Prop 103, we are not able to include the cost of reinsurance. And that's the insurance that the insurance company buys. So, for example, that might be an insurance policy that has a $250 million deductible.
Yeah.
But in a $2 billion loss, it makes a huge difference. So we use reinsurance when there's hurricanes, when there's wildfires, when there's, you know, catastrophic events. And in California, the insurance premium, the premiums the insurance company pays for reinsurance cannot be included in one of our justifications for rates. And in Northern California, for the last, in the last 5 years, since 2017, we have had 8 out of the 10 largest property damage fires in the history of actually the United States. Right here in California.
Yeah.
And 8 of them have been in Northern California. Only one of them was older than 2017. That's the Oakland Hills fire.
Okay.
Really what's happened, you know, if you look at the Tubbs fire as an example, 40 years ago, there was a fire prior to the Tubbs fire, there was a fire in Santa Rosa on the exact same footprint, but there were very few structures in the way of that fire.
I see.
You know, you and I have had a few birthdays. I'm born in 1961. When I was a kid in California, we had forest fires. Fires didn't happen in a suburb. We didn't have urban wildfires. We had forest fires. They happened somewhere else. So this combination of development in California because of population growth and because of wealth with forestry management, where we're afraid to cut trees.
Yes.
We don't manage fire risk. And then you combine it with the regulatory environment and inflation. Something has to give.
The insurance companies just can't take on the risk anymore.
Correct.
And the way things are.
So what I try to help people understand is that insurance companies have two formulas. One of them is called loss ratio. Very simple. The amount paid in claims divided by the amount of premium collected. Insurance companies are actually supposed to maintain a loss ratio of 70% or higher. So we don't get to just keep your money in the property casualty world. We're supposed to spend it on claims. And the regulators will tell us to decrease our rates if we collect, if our loss ratio is too low. And then the other formula is what's called combined ratio. Mm-hmm. And that's the combination of the losses plus insurance carrier overhead. Mm-hmm. And that includes everything from your claims adjuster salary to the 800 number person, personal 800 number who answers your phone, to people like me in my office and the commission income that we earn.
Mm-hmm.
And usually an insurance company's best combined ratio is somewhere between 95 and 99. That means they want to make between a penny and a nickel on the premium they collect. And they want to put that money into the reserves to pay future claims and insurance profits, just to sort of get an understanding of the issue of the industry, usually come from gains on the investment portfolio of the reserves.
I understand. Okay, that makes sense.
So Berkshire Hathaway, for example, is in the insurance business.
Yeah.
And has been successful in the insurance business because of their ability to invest their reserves. That's really what Berkshire Hathaway is about.
Okay.
Just to sort of finish it up, loss ratios today are running between $1.25 and $1.50 for every dollar of premium collected. Now, in the short term, you can use your reserves to help pay some of that.
Okay.
But that is not a long-term sustainable.
It's like a stopgap measure.
What that means is insurance companies have to find a way to get back to that equilibrium of a loss ratio of about 99, right?
Okay.
And they get there through what we call rate actions or rate increases and non-rate actions.
What's so a non-rate action?
That's a great question. Might be things like cutting bonuses for insurance producers. It might be saying changing payment plans, like we want people to pay in full so we have use of the money the entire policy period.
I see.
It might be underwriting, like we don't want to write a property in with a wildfire exposure.
Mm-hmm.
It might be underwriting. We don't want to write insurance for somebody who has a prior claims history, who has the claim prior loss in their claims history.
Yeah.
It might be some companies, it might be an age of home or an age of a roof.
And
you'll also notice when you, if you watch the television, a significant reduction in insurance advertising.
Right.
Insurance companies in this type of a combined ratio environment, they cannot afford to grow. So what's a realtor to do?
Well, not necessarily a realtor, but, you know, all of us, we own property and, you know, better or worse, we need insurance. And when you couple, you know, I really just know the East Bay, that's where I've been an expert for years, but, you know, over the past few years, the fire ratings, it's, seems like, how does this work exactly?
Every insurance company has a different rating system.
Yeah.
The one that Farmers uses and I'm the most familiar with, and it's pretty widely adopted, is called Fireline. And that's prepared by a company called ISO, the Insurance Service Office. That's a company that does underwriting for, it does, its customers are insurance companies. They have no consumer customers, just insurance companies.
Right.
And they provide all kinds of back office services for us.
Right.
Fireline rates a location from a score of 0 to 30.
Okay.
And the higher it is, the higher the risk. And the three factors that go into the score are the access road. So, you know, up in Montclair, we have a ton of properties that end up in a dead end or a single egress.
Yeah.
So only one place for a fire truck to get to, or even the width of the road,
or
how curvy it is.
Yeah.
Some areas are served only by the short trucks because the big trucks can't get in.
Okay.
And understand that a lot of our fuel, when we have a terrible fire, comes from the east to the west.
Okay.
So in the East Bay, we have a huge open space on the other side of the hill.
Yes.
And there's not any housing built up into it and very few fire roads. And if we have something like if you look at some of the worst fires in California, it's come from those Diablo winds, the hot winds coming from the east to the west over the land, and
Exactly, yeah.
sending the embers and creating their own firestorm.
Right.
And then the third component is slope. Fire loves to climb a slope.
Uh-huh.
So, and it also makes it more difficult to fight.
Were State Farm taking on risk that other companies weren't taking on? And also, where does all of this dovetail with the California Fair Plan?
Great. Those two very different questions. First of all, my experience with State Farm, and it's anecdotal.
Sure.
There are three types of carriers in California. There's admitted, we call those the name brands. There's a non-admitted, we call that a secondary market. And usually you don't know, you've never seen advertisement for a non-admitted carrier. And then there's the fair plan. Every carrier at a period of time has more or less what we call underwriting appetite.
Mm-hmm.
Up until the closure on May 27th, my experience was that State Farm had the broadest underwriting appetite of all the admitted carriers.
Let's remind people what Fair Plan is.
So the Fair Plan is a very interesting insurance. It is the consortium of all the admitted companies in California,
yeah,
creating a combined risk pool. So one of the first concerns people have when they have sort of alternate non-name brand insurance is, oh my gosh, what's the claims paying capacity in the event of a large loss? Well, the Fair Plan carriers are insured. They have the financial strength behind the scenes admitted carriers who are just creating a marketplace of shared risk.
I get
the Fair
it.
Plan itself, even though it says California in its name, is
yeah.
a nonprofit association. They don't take taxpayer money and they don't receive taxpayer money.
Okay.
They receive rate paying money. And the Fair Plan is an a la carte plan. So let's say it's really important to you to be able to rebuild your home and you want to put your money there, right? And you don't feel like, you know, a lot of houses I go into, they have more light and air than they have in them than furniture, right? So a
yeah.
lot of people who live in the Bay Area, they don't want that clutter. They want the light, the air, the high ceiling, the big windows. And so, and maybe they're like, if my house is burned down, I'm not going to need furniture for a while anyway. So they can customize and have a lower coverage for some parts that of the policy that they might not feel they need so much. So
okay.
that allows us to try to control the rate a bit.
Okay.
And so the Fair Plan is always combined with a secondary policy called Difference in Condition, or DIC. The DIC policies cover, they specifically cover water damage, which is the number one cause of loss in homes.
Oh, really?
In home insurance. Not fire is the largest loss, but water damage is the most common.
Okay, that makes sense. Sure.
Covers theft and covers liability.
Okay.
So those policies are significantly less expensive because they don't have the full ranges of coverage, and their coverage is more designed for the small stuff, not the big stuff.
Okay, I understand.
Now, I can write the Fair Plan and its companion policy for a primary residence, a secondary residence, a rental property, and a vacant property. The Fair Plan in its original design was designed for that property, that vacation house, secondary residence you bought in a wooded area, Santa Cruz Mountains up in Guerneville. They were never designed to take on this modern risk of primary residence in an urban area. And yet here we are. When it comes to claims, because that's really what people want to know about insurance,
yeah.
The Fair Plan usually uses a third-party claims administrator. The Fair Plan pays claims mostly for fire and for wind. The Fair Plan will also cover the trees. So a lot of these properties have a significant amount of mature landscaping, and we cover that on the Fair Plan.
Where are we right now, you know, just talking numbers, you know, when people are going to buy a property, let's say, in the hills where there's a reasonably high chance that it's in a high fire area? What are the numbers just to, you know, for an average size hills property? What's happening with the numbers now? What's happened over the last year or 2 years? And where are we headed?
The last question will be my first answer. If I have learned it, one thing in the insurance business, it's not to predict the future.
Okay. Good policy in general.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, we have seen rates really jump up in the secondary market and also in the FAIR plan. So where I used to tell people to budget $300 to $400 a month in Montclair, mm-hmm. I now tell them to budget $500 to $700 a month.
Okay.
It's so double since 2-3 years ago. I also tell listing agents to talk to me about what I see, as well as people making offers. Sometimes I'll just talk to the realtor. With the higher interest rates, not everybody is going to have room in their budget for expensive insurance.
Yeah.
I think what's been hardest for folks is you'll also hear from your clients that you sold property to that they didn't expect the insurance to get so expensive so quickly.
Right. To your point about, you know, listing agents being careful. Also, you know, buyer's agents, we have, as you know, we have an inspection contingency that in the East Bay generally gets waived. We get the non-contingent offer in. But I, you know, in chatting with a few of my colleagues the other day, it seems to us that perhaps double checking on an insurance quote is the insurance component have been properly considered when you're removing that contingency. I'm also concerned about the length of, will there be an increase in the amount of time it takes to get the insurance properly, you know, figured out?
You know, when I started working more closely with realtors 15 years ago during the recession and the mortgage crisis, people called and placed insurance, you know, right from the title company. And then right. We got the TRID, and the insurance has to be in. If somebody's got a loan on the property, the insurance has to be in and sort of ready to go 10 days before the loan funds.
Right.
So that's given us some of our time. If we are going to write a FAIR plan policy, we have to do proof of life photos that the property is not currently damaged.
I see.
So sometimes we need to partner with folks to do the photos. But I always tell people, if you're making a serious offer, not if you're just dabbling through, but if you're making a serious offer,
yeah,
to at least get some sense of the insurance before you make that offer.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of people, it is about affordability, right?
Of course. Yeah.
And what I tell realtors is, you know, if your client really loves that location and that type of location, they need to know upfront, sort of as part of your intake and come to Jesus moment about making competitive offers,
right,
that what the insurance might be. And just like the lenders are really to attract your business, they create pre-approval letters for you so you can go in and make strong offers. We also are very happy to go in and give your client a general idea. A lot of the quotes that we do are extremely manual, and we don't do them until someone has a bona fide, until someone's in contract.
Right.
And then it takes us 2 or 3 days once they're in contract to do it. Knowing just up front that this will be easy to insure, they'll have some choices, they can shop around a little bit, great. You know how much work it is when you enter a contract and, you know, it's like the start gun goes. You gotta have all these things to do.
Right.
Helping your clients have an insurance solution kind of up and ready in the front half of that is going to reduce their stress.
Yeah.
And you know, to have the smooth transaction, that any place you can reduce an element of stress, it makes the transaction smoother. There's always a place in the transaction where things are yucky.
There's always something.
We just don't want it to be the insurance.
That's right. And so what's happening right now means it's, you know, there's an increasing likelihood that transactions you know, there's the potential to really get stuck in the insurance details. And so it seems that going forward, it's incumbent on realtors, both on the list and, you know, selling side, to do their or suggest to their clients that the due diligence gets done, you know, mm-hmm. ahead of time, because it's a shame, because we used not to, like 20 years ago when I got my license, we, you know, the insurance was not on our minds. But nowadays, it's got to be on that checklist of items that
you know. And the and what we find is that some realtors depend on the lender, some lenders depend on the realtor. If you are a high service person working with clients who appreciate that level of high touch, that, you know, and will come back and will refer their friends, mm-hmm. helping them connect to resources so that they can do this process as easily as possible is really a gift. And yeah. a lot of times what the realtor will say is, well, who do you do your car insurance with? Or who is your right. current insurance company? Right. And in the past, it was very easy to say, oh, well, you've got your car with this company, they'll definitely do your home. But that's not true anymore.
Right.
You know, so no, the not. Shopping is a little bit more of an issue.
Right.
And it's a little bit more difficult.
When an insurance quote is, you know, submitted as, you know, part of the transaction process, and we're in escrow, how soon after the transaction? Because typically, the, you know, nobody comes out from the insurance company to do a physical check on the property. It's after the fact, like within maybe a month to 6 weeks after the transaction closes.
That's a great question. So in the process, the insurance carrier has up to 60 days
I see.
To make a decision about whether or not that they want to keep or decline the risk.
Mm.
And then once they make that decision, they have to give the consumer a 30-day legal notice to either repair or replace, repair the issue or replace the policy.
Okay.
Now, if you're using somebody who's local who will go out to talk with, like, if somebody tells me, hey, will you go take a look at this? I'll go, you know, within about a 10-mile radius, I'll just hop in the car and look at a policy. Okay. I'm looking at a property. What do yeah. I see? What's going on? Do I agree with the assessment that the underwriter's making? We have really good aerial photography. You know, insurance companies are using all the technology to right. understand what's there. But, you know, they could be looking at the wrong house. They could be not understanding what's there. And, you know, or there's things that might look fine in a picture, but then you go and you look at it on the streets, you know, at yeah. the at the street level, and it's not the same. Right. So, you know, I had somebody who was buying a fixer property, and it was on an old brick foundation. You know, I did from the street, it in the on the photos it looked fine, but I wanted to go look at it because I was a little suspicious. Property yeah. was in terrible condition.
Yeah.
From the street view, and yeah. the only policy that I could offer was one that would be vacant with renovations.
Yeah.
And they needed to be doing the renovations immediately.
Right.
And I think she was trying to finance it as an owner-occupied primary residence. So that wasn't going to work.
But but somebody will visit the property. You
they
know,
will. The insurance company will send someone. For right. high-value homes, they may want to see the inside.
Yeah.
A lot of insurance companies today are doing self-inspections. So you walk around with your phone and you take pictures and
yeah.
fill out a questionnaire.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different ways to do it.
Right.
But there will be an inspection usually within 30 days of when we issue the policy.
Right.
So if we issue the policy on the 1st of May for a close of escrow on the 15th, the insurance company is going to try to get out there before the 30th of May.
Yeah.
So in my office, we try to final issue that policy as close to the actual day of close of escrow, because
yeah.
we don't want the insurance company sending some, you know, a contractor out, you know, it's just contracted folks, like it's gig work to do property inspections.
Yeah.
We don't want someone to expose our client to an inspection before they have control of the property.
So it seems to me that as realtors, you know, we've this aspect, this insurance component has taken on greater, well, it's just a, there's more gravity to it. And it's really, really important that we have people like yourself, you know, on speed dial and available to our clients, because we got to be talking insurance at almost the same time as we're talking loans.
That's where it fits.
Yeah.
And it also fits in that debt to equity, and the, that PITI ratio. So when you're talking ratios and what can we buy and where do we look with the money we have?
Yes.
That absolutely becomes part of the conversation.
What do I not know that I'm missing out on here that's incredibly important? And I don't know what I don't know.
You know, at this point, what the best thing for you to know is to know people, right? Mm-hmm. Know people who have the answer. We do not live in a world where we know all the answers. We live in a world of specialization. Any realtor who's building their team needs to include insurance people from more than one brand. You know, not everybody's available every day. Not every carrier wants to write.
Right.
They need to have a bench, you know, a relatively deep bench of people in insurance, deep bench of people in lending, you know, in property preparation or fixing, some legal people, some accountants. Like, you need a deep bench of experts at your fingertips.
That's right.
And you know, so if people are a little slow right now because the market's a little slow, what I would encourage them to do is to work on their networks. So that when things speed up a little bit, they have the relationships they need to support their business.
That, you know, that's really, really great advice, because when things are slower, there is an awful lot of catching up that we have to do, especially after the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Like 2021, I could barely catch a breath. And now you're right. Now is the time when it's a little quieter to build those networks and systems. So I think that's really good advice. I appreciate that. Ruth, let's give everybody all of the contact details you want to give them.
Fantastic. So my name is Ruth Straup. I'm very easy to find on Google, Ruth Oakland Insurance. I have a fantastic team. So if you call my office at 510-874-5700, you do not have to wait for me to be available to get help. My office number is also text enabled. So literally, Declan, you could say, hi, it's Declan. And we already have your number posted that you're a realtor, because we've talked to you before. Yeah. I have a client looking at 123 Grizzly Peak. Mm-hmm. What do I need to know?
Right.
And we'll take a look and say, here's some things we see. Let us know if you'd like to talk to the buyer. We can create a shorthand for you by doing that. Okay. I have a Facebook page. You're welcome. But really, my most active thing for realtors is my personal Facebook. And so I'm always happy to include Facebook friend, to LinkedIn. One of my favorite things is that my current giveaway is safety whistles. So if anybody is an open house and wants to have a quick little giveaway, we're super happy to share our safety whistles with you.
Ruth, thank you for your time. I'm sure we'll have to chat again, because let me just ask you that final question, I promise. Is State Farm pulling out of writing new policies? Is that just the first domino? Or I know you said you can't predict the future, but
let me tell you what else is happening. State Farm is not the only company that's reducing its risk exposure by not writing new policies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Multiple carriers, including mm-hmm. Farmers, there's some types of coverage we won't write right now,
okay.
have reduced their risk appetite for new business.
Mm.
So now Farmers has culled my book of business several times
mm-hmm.
For renewal business that didn't, because they have they've reduced the risk appetite. And we did that because our reinsurance company said, we don't want to provide you all this extended coverage if you have all this risk on your books. So insurance, I get two calls for new business on a regular basis. The first is somebody buying a property.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is a person who's been non-renewed by their current company.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen the shrinking of risk appetite for coming for a decade, Declan. People just didn't believe it.
Well,
and if you didn't experience it, you didn't know. State Farm had took on so much. They had the biggest appetite for new business in Northern California of any admitted carrier that I worked with. Can I say, and when they decided to stop, they stopped immediately because they couldn't tell people we'll stop in 6 weeks and then everybody piles in. They didn't want that.
Right.
Could they decide to go the route that other carriers have gone where they non-renew some of the highest risk locations? Absolutely. Mm. Will this continue to be a difficult insurance market for some time? Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, what people need to do to be prepared is a couple of things. The first is they need to budget to pay a little bit more for insurance. It just is.
Yeah.
They need to make sure they still maintain good insurance. They need to have good cash reserves so they can take advantage of higher deductibles. They need to avoid the reflex of trying to always go cheaper.
Can you repeat that? Because that's so lovely.
We want to encourage people to avoid the reflex to always try to get the cheapest policy.
Gosh, I love that.
So, you know, there's a famous lizard who advertises insurance on TV that keeps telling people that saving 15% is what makes the insurance a good policy.
Right.
And,
you know, I understand.
I have a dear friend who's experienced about a $50,000 theft burglary loss at his home, and he has Lemonade. We cannot get a person. They do not have people available to speak with him. And we have questions about the process. And the easiest day you have to speak to an insurance professional is the day you buy the policy. We're on our best behavior. We're selling you something.
Yeah.
If that person is not easy for you to communicate with on the best day, imagine how it might be on a bad day.
Yeah.
People need to ask about more than just the cost.
We'll leave it there, Ruth, because that's pretty much all we can take for today. Again, thanks for being an affiliate member of Bridge Association of Realtors. Thanks for spending so much time with me today, more than I thought, going over some of these details. And just thanks for being a great resource to the Bridge Association. Okay, Ruth?
Fantastic. So glad to speak with you.
Okay. And I'm sure you'll be sponsoring a Power Hour one of these months.
We have a Power Hour, and I think we're doing something with YPN. So I encourage young realtors in particular to get out and build their networks.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Time to build networks. Thanks, Ruth. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Okay, let's do the credits. I'm your host, Declan Spring. Please reach out to me at 415-446-8591 with comments or suggestions, or you can email me at declan@redoakrealty.com. Thanks to Divine Alara, CEO of Bridge Association of Realtors, and the staff at Bridge Association, and our current Bridge AOR president, Felicia Maris Villa, for making the show possible. Thanks to Chuck Lindo for the podcast music, chucklindomusic@gmail.com, and Lisa Mazur for our graphics, lisamazurdesign.com. Catch you on the next podcast, everybody. And in the meantime, please like the show, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on, and share with your industry friends or anybody else who might be interested.